Hey everyone, welcome back to another week's episode of Rising Giants with your hosts Max Thornton and Dominic Kalusic. On this week's episode, we're sitting down with Sota Veng. He's the founder and CEO of Plazgate. It's one of Cambodia's oldest tech startups, having been founded in 2014. It is the largest SMS gateway in Cambodia. They provide a single online platform for enterprises to fulfill their mobile communication needs, therefore reducing complexity, time, and settlement when dealing with their customers. We really hope you enjoy tuning into this episode, and if you could take some time to give us a review on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to your podcasts, we really appreciate it. And thanks again for tuning in.
So I just wanted to quickly ask, I know when we were messaging a little bit back and forth, but something that you wanted to share about was sustainability, scalability, and challenges. Anything specific within those categories that are those topics that you would like to dive into?
Well, just want to share, you know, some experience, you know, what I have faced, you know, when for my startup. So I think it's good things, you know, to share all this story and to those people, you know, who are doing the startup or, you know, the guy who are thinking about to do the startup. Mm-hmm. So, yep, and found it, you know, it's very interesting because, some people, they probably, you know, understand, they probably know those things are very important, but it's from my, you know, own perspective and view that, you know, it's very important, you know, for the startup owners, you know, have to understand, have to focus on those areas, you know, so that, you know, they can keep, you know, startup going and growing their company.
Okay. Makes sense.
Sustainability, scalability. Right. That's what you're referencing. Okay. Yeah, and I think sometimes there's an overly rosy and positive picture of startups, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not as like easy as that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, I mean, everyone can start a startup, but for me, I would suggest that, you know, they should think twice. You can do a startup anytime, but of course, you know, some people may, you know, want to do startup or their own business because of, you know, the pressure from their work, from their peer, or from the social, you know. But for me, I still encourage, you know, people to do a startup because they can contribute to the economy and impacts for the people's life. It's also important that, you know, they have to think carefully. They have to think, you know, twice, you know, how they can, you know, contribute, how they can, you know, make their startup sustainable and how they can, you know, solve all those problems that they may face. Because, you know, when you have a plan on the paper for the, you know, for execution, but when you do it, you know, there may be a lot of, you know, bumpy roads along the way, a lot of things that you may face. And sometimes you have to change your business plan, what you have planned like, you know, a year ago. So this may affect your mentality, may affect your, you know, roadmap as well. So that's why, you know, for the startup owner, you have to be ready and face and prepare for such a, you know, a bumpy road, especially sometimes the road can be very long. So this is very important that, you know, the startup owners have to understand.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that would be a good place to start the podcast, talking a bit about like your initial journey into founding Plazgate, and maybe you can talk a little bit about your experience before that and what made you want to become a startup founder.
Well, I mean, actually, I, you know, let me brief a little bit about myself. Yeah. I found PlusGate in 2015. After working for 8 years for Smart, and I found this opportunity, the mobile communication gateway, because at that time there was no real mobile communication gateway in Cambodia. So I thought it was a good opportunity. So that's why I founded PlusGate. But before that, I actually worked in the hospitality and tourism industry. So for like, I think, 6 or 7 years before switching to telecommunication. And yeah, as I said, you know, there was no real mobile communication gateway in Cambodia. So that's why I found that, you know, this would be, you know, an interesting project for me. And I want to challenge it. So that's why I founded PlusGate.
Could you just explain for the audience, what is a mobile communication gateway? And yeah, what does that intend to do?
Anything related to mobile users, I have to say. It can be text message, just can be voice, can be internet communication. But for us right now, we focus on the text messages and the voice communication and OTT. OTTs, it stands for, you know, over the top. So it means like, you know, WhatsApp, Line, Telegrams, and like that. So we basically want to actually give the business people or enterprise customer can access to the mobile user so that they can interact with their customer, you know, especially for those who want to move to digital space. Let me give you like one or two examples. Let's say, you know, when you download, you know, app from App Store or like Facebook, and you need to put it to sign up and put your information, but Facebook need to verify your identity. So there's only way that they can do this is that they will send you a one-time password so that you can put in to verify your identity. And this is what we are doing. So we provide a connection to the enterprise customer who want to send the one-time password for verification purpose. And another case, let's say, you know, we have one of our customers, which is one of the biggest bank here in Cambodia. They receive a lot of loan requests every day, so they cannot process it on time. So they have to use SMS to send, you know, notification to their customer whether their application is approved or denied. So this is fast. And without, you know, this SMS notification, it would take a lot of people to call to their customer, and they will spend, you know, a lot of money, time, resource, and, you know, other material just to do this communication. But with this mobile communication, you know, they just connect to our API gateway, and then they can, you know, interact with their customer at any time, and very fast, secure, and it's very affordable.
Mm, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So a lot of the use case has been within the financial sector. What would be some of the other sectors that you work with that have become more important over time?
We actually have a lot of customer from various industry. You know, we have customer from education, we have customer from government agency, we have customer in hospitality, we have customer in logistics, you know, like DHL, or I think one of our customers is a delivery company. They use, you know, our text message to notify to the recipient, you know, that they expect to get, you know, their goods to be delivered today or tomorrow. And we also have, you know, some clinics using our service as a reminder to their patient, okay? You're going to have, you know, an appointment with, you know, your doctor tomorrow at 2 o'clock, something like that. So in this case, you know, as you can see, your business can get benefits from this kind of, you know, interactive communication, because you always keep close and connected with your customer from time to time. And it's very convenient because, you know, sometimes customer feel not disturbing because they get text message instead of phone call, and which is annoying sometimes. So with text message, you can see it anytime. You can search and see it again. Yeah. So that how it is.
Yeah, I really enjoy having to do the one-time passcode where I have to like go and get into my email, and then I have to go and copy paste it into another tab, and then I have to fill out my security questions. It's fun. I love doing that, but incredibly efficient for the companies that are using the services, because then, you know, for them, they don't have to have an individual doing that, which is a costly resource. So starting the business in 2015, what was it like in the early years? Did you have a lot of traction at the beginning, or was it kind of during that, you know, 2017, 2018 era where, you know, that kind of first tech boom was really kicking off in Cambodia, where you started to see a lot of these companies looking for these kind of like digital solutions?
I have to say like this, started alone. So I was doing sales and also technical support at the same time. And actually, when I was working for Smart, I had some contacts who actually contacted to me at Smart, you know, saying they need this and need that. But at that time, you know, it was very difficult for the company like Smart to provide. They could do it, but a lot of works have to be done, you know, like signing agreement, integration, testing, charging. But in Cambodia, that's not just only Smart. There are like cell card, smartphone, and other telephone company. And imagine that, you know, if you have many customer, then it would be insane, you know, to process all those things. And I got the, you know, some contact. Then when I left Smart, then I, you know, I phoned them, you know, okay, I got this solution for you, and you know, you want to try out something like that. Then one of the biggest bank here, they said yes, we could try and see, you know. That's the momentum that we got as, you know, a business. And then, you know, we got only one client, something like that. Then I need to think how can, you know, we get bigger and how we can survive, you know. We got one client, but we need to have many clients like that, big client like that, so that we can survive. So if we just work with small clients, or maybe some client who actually just needed one time to send SMS for market campaign, something like that, then it may not going to work. So then it has to be the same, the same industry, or anyone who has a large base customer that they have to keep, you know, connected and contact with their customer. So, you know, that's how I started, and we got our first customer and they trusted us, and then we got it, you know, as a reference. And then when we talked to the other guys, oh, they look at us, you know, how could you get that big customer?
Sometimes
I think, as I said, you know, there was no real mobile communication gateway in Cambodia at that time, and that big customer, like, you know, had no choice too. And then we got that big customer, and then we used as a reference, and then, you know, people, you know, started to trust us. And also I think my relationship was you know, playing important role in building this business as well, because I was looking after the enterprise business for Smart. So I got a lot of connection to the business people around in Phnom Penh. So they know me quite well. So when I talk to them, okay, we know each other, so it's very easy to talk, something like that. So relationship is also very important, you know, for PlusGate journey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Max.
Sorry, I was just going to add a comment. I think especially in the sector that you're in where it's quite high value B2B sales.
Yes.
They need that personal touch and they want to see the person they're going to be working with. One other question I had is you said that you started in 2015, but this does sound like it was a very complicated tech product to build. So I'm actually curious, like, how long did it take to get the product to like a sellable level? And yeah, I mean, what was it like just building that from scratch?
That's very, very good question, actually. You know, I started alone, so I couldn't do anything. For me, actually, I have shareholders, you know, who actually can help me with the tech and solution. But with the telecommunication gateway, you know, they didn't have skill and knowledge about it. It was hard for all of us. So I decided, you know, to rent the system from Malaysia at that time. Because if I, you know, want to build the technology from the scratch, it would take me like, you know, 3 to 5 years. And imagine that, you know, that was only me, so could not do it. So I needed to rent a system from one of the company from Malaysia, and we ran it. And then we got customer, we got revenue, and later on I decided that, you know, it's time for us to have our own technology. So I started to find, you know, good people, talented people to work for PlusGate. So it took us like 3 years to build the system, I think from 2018, something like that. And we tested, we did a lot of research, and then we got our system launched, I think, in 2020. Yeah. And now it's up and running, and we have, you know, like 6 or 7 software developers right now working around the system, you know, keeping update, upgrading the system. And now we are putting, you know, more services and products into one single platform. That's the idea, because we want to offer multiple services and products in one single platform, so it's convenient for the customer.
And when you say multiple service and products, could you expand a little bit more on what those offerings are now? Have they expanded since the early days?
Right now, we have only SMS as a core service and product for the company. But we are adding, we call pinless verification. It's verification over IP. We're going to add a voice. We're going to add OTT, like, you know, WhatsApps. Could be, you know, Line or Telegram into the platform as well. So the customers will have choices in the future. So they can, whoever like to use SMS, they can use SMS. Whoever like, you know, pinless verification, they can do that. Whoever like voice, you know, they can do voice. So it's just in one single platform.
Yeah, the startup that I'm working for right now, they have an OTP token that they use, and it's through a security system called Duo Security. And so there are just, it doesn't have to be every time, but there are random times where I try to log in on my laptop and then it goes to my cellular device and I have to basically type in the number in which that's being presented, and then I'm able to log in back onto the computer. So interesting, like, I guess, security mechanism there for, like, in terms of like the communication between the computer and the phone in order to be able to log in on the business side. So yeah, just a thought that came up from there. And from in current day, I'm curious about what kind of sales strategies that you implemented. Actually, more so talking about in the early days, you did mention how you have connections. Or you had connections on the enterprise side, which of course is very valuable, as we were discussing before. And I'm wondering if for other founders that are listening in that maybe are taking a lot of that sales responsibility on their shoulders as being a founder or CEO in the early days, you know, what kind of sales strategies did you feel like were good to implement or were successful?
For us, it's very clear. Our customer are simply the businesses and or enterprise customers. So then that, you know, there are not many in this case. So we focus on the big ones from the day one. So it was like, you know, one-to-one approach. And we're still doing this, you know, for big customer. But at the same time, right now, we have our platform up and running. And people can sign up and use it anytime and can pay online. So it's for mass market. So it's even for small company, they want to use it. They can just go to our website. They can sign up and they can pay. They can launch their services immediately using our API. So now we have to attack both the enterprise customer and also the SME customer, because it's time. For big customer, imagine, you know, there are not many banks in Cambodia. Like, even though there are like, you know, 50 or 60 banks, but they are not, you know, 100,000 that you can get, you know, them using our service. So in this case, we have to focus on the on small companies, tech startup as well. So that's why we try and put our system online so that everybody can access and so that we can move faster and we can scale faster.
And what would you say are the main value propositions that you offer to these SME clients that you're presenting the product to? If you had to name a few that you would go into a discussion.
Right now, anyone who's sign up, you know, for the first sign up, they get like $3 for testing. So we want them to experience and test our platform and see how convenient, how good it is, and build the platform, you know, around the customer feedback. We have a lot of features like role-based, budget setting, encryption for securities and like that, reporting. And we always listen to our customer. And we have, you know, like some startup using us, like Working Now, Localize. I think even local company like, you know, Book Me Bus. I think I have a few more that I cannot remember.
I'm sure there's too many to count, right?
Yeah, quite many, I have to say.
Yeah. Well,
Eget is also one of our customers.
Yeah. Are there any like structural, like tech competitors to SMS gateways over the long term? Like, do you think the technology will still be being used in 10 years' time? Like, what do you see as like your main competitor from a technology side, not necessarily from a company side?
Okay. Let me say it like this, you know, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people in the telecommunications said that the text message would die probably by 2020. But it actually, you know, keep increasing and booming. And according to the industry focus, it's still growing for the next 10 years. But do understand that, you know, technology keep changing from time to time. You know, it's like Nokia case, you know.
Right.
Probably I don't know. I have no idea in the next 10 or 20 years. But, you know, for me as a tech startup and the business owner, I always, you know, watch the trend and follow the trend. And we always, you know, innovate and develop our services and products too. We just don't, you know, stay still. We don't, you know, keep the same thing that what we are doing. That's why, you know, we're going to add, you know, voice. We're going to add pinless verification. We're going to add OTT. But I think I may be wrong, but SMS may be there for some time at least, because it's very simple. It's very unique. Because when you sign up for any application, you know, they will not ask you for like, what's your Telegram name? What's your Facebook? Like that. I need I just need your phone number, right? It's still very unique. So with the phone number, they can, you know, message you. They can interact with you. And the message is very sex, basically. But if you use, like, you know, WhatsApp or Telegram as a verification, then it's, you know, going to the internet. So that's, people can say that it's secure because they have encryption technologies and like that. But it's still, you know, in terms of technology, you know, any system can be hacked. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of, you know.
I think with WhatsApp, if you get locked out of your account, you need to have your phone number to get back in.
Yeah.
But with Telegram, I think they've allowed it so that you just have to know your username, and then maybe you can find one of your old devices that was on it or something like this.
Yeah, they may have some mechanism, but at least for the initial, you know, sign up, they still use one-time password through SMS. Right. Like even Telegram or Facebook, upon you sign up, you get a text message for one-time password. That's simple. But maybe after that, they have different way, different mechanism. But some people, you know, they don't like email. They don't like other thing because it takes time. It's not fast. SMS is fast. It's very simple. You get one-time password. That's it.
Right. And so maybe just like taking a step back a bit, you started the company in 2015. What have been some of the milestones along the way, and what have been some of the key challenges that you've had to encounter growing this business and getting it from being a baby to being now more mature and, you know, actually being the number one market share in Cambodia for your technology?
Initially, you know, in my head at that time, you know, I was like, you know, many things that I wanted to do at that time, not just SMS. But later on, you know, I realized that I was alone. I couldn't do many things at the same time. I didn't have a team. I didn't have enough money, so enough fun. So I scaled down everything and focus only one thing, SMS. Because I asked myself why I quit it from you know, working from a big company to do this. Only one job is to do SMS, and why, you know, I dream about doing other things at the same time. Because at that time, you know, sometimes, okay, I know that, you know, want to do SMS, but sometimes, okay, this may add some revenue, something like that. Then it distracted you. Then I realized, okay, that's not the right thing. So I stopped, I cut down everything, and I put the focus on the SMS gateway at that time. So, yeah, it was hard, as I said, but I was lucky, so we got one big customer who brought us some revenue, and then, you know, gave us a lot of trust to attract other customer. That's how, you know, it works for PlusGate. And I accumulate the revenue and the profitability so that, you know, we could invest the money that we earn back to hire people, talent, and build our own system. So that's how I did with PlusGate.
And as a founder and as a leader for the business, what would you say are some of the most important characteristics that you have that you feel that you should convey in order to have to build company culture and to grow a successful business over multiple years?
Sorry again? No.
I was just going to say, I'll ask in. After you did, or I'll go ahead and back it up and ask in. As a founder and a leader of the business, what are some of the most important characteristics that you have to convey in order to like build a culture company, to like build a strong culture for employees to want to stay, want to grow and scale with the business over the long term?
I think as a, you know, leader, founder of the company, it's very important that, you know, you have your own dream. And you have to believe in yourself, and you have to have passion in what you are doing, because it's very important that, you know, if you don't have passion and if you don't believe in your project, then the people that are working with you probably, you know, don't believe in you and don't believe in your project. And if they don't believe in you and in your project, then I think it's a bit tough, you know, for you to succeed. And you know, getting the talent and the team to work for you is one of the most difficult thing for startup, because, you know, good people, good resource, you know, may want to work for the bigger companies and like that. So, you know, you have to find way to recruit people and convince them how they, you know, gonna believe in you, how they gonna believe in your project. If they have no passion with your project or dream, then it's very hard, basically. So I use a different approach to reach people. I simply, you know, sometimes, like one of my CTO, actually, I know him on the social media. Then I phone him, you know, and talk to him, because I found him, you know, very talented. And I talked to him, you know, whether you want to join PlusGate. I have this project, and I show him, you know, what we are doing and what the future look like. And then, you know, he said, okay, sound interesting. Then, so he joined us. So for me, when I look for people, especially for the management team, I want to find someone who actually, you know, has entrepreneur mindset instead of, you know, salary, instead of other benefits, and for those who want to take the long journey with me. That's how, you know, I did it so far.
And how do you enable the leaders, like in management positions, to to be able for them to be able to grow teams that can execute well without having to have much oversight from you, let's say?
Well, I mean, it's a process, and we have to understand, you know, each other. And I would say experience, and I would say would give you the ability to overcome all those things. And like PlusGate right now, I would say the team is doing well, the system is doing well, and flow is going well. So basically, you know, everybody can work anywhere, not just at the office. I mean, the team, you know, can be at the office, can be at home, can work on the go. We try, you know, this kind of work during the COVID, and it worked, but later on I found that, you know, we may lose some connection and the office life. So then I decided to return back to the office.
What do you think is, like, some of the attitudes? You were saying you look for people that have an entrepreneurial mindset. How can you kind of spot that early on in someone that's joining your company and looking to work with you over the long term?
This is hard. So actually, you know, you have to test them out, you know. I actually, you know, set like a kind of, you know, a KPI and a journey. Okay, you know, let's say if you join us and if you reach certain level, then we're gonna give you, you know, certain share of the companies and like that, instead of, you know, salary, instead of benefits. And, you know, for this approach, some people, you know, who have the entrepreneur mindset, you know, they don't care about salary. They don't care about everything. They just, you know, they just have the passion with the technology, with your dream. And of course, I have to reward them with this kind of thing to motivate them as well, so that, you know, they can be on the same boat. So that's how I, you know, I implemented it. And also said to them that, you know, don't expect anything, you know, like Facebook, like Alibaba, that you can be millionaire or billionaire one day. Don't expect that, you know. You have it's a long journey and it's a long process, and nobody can predict and know in the future. But this is my dream, and this is my project, and this is my, you know, vision. If you see its, you know, value, then, you know, I would be happy to welcome you on board. But you have to have the right attitude, and you have to have the entrepreneur mindset too. Otherwise, it's very hard to work, you know, with each other, because, you know, I mean, if you have the guy, you know, who are just, you know, need high salary or more benefit than anything, then I think maybe they can work for you like 6 months or 1 year, then they would quit the job. I face this issue. So that's why I change it, you know. I always look for the guys who actually, you know, have the entrepreneur mindset rather than anything.
Okay. And looking out a bit into the future, what do you hope to achieve or plan to achieve over the next few years? Like if we were to talk to you in 2026, what would you hope you like Plazgate is by then?
For me, we want to be the leader in this, you know, cloud mobile communication gateway in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. Because there's no such a company or real technology for Cambodia. I mean, for other countries, they have it. But in Cambodia, we don't really have it. And we want to be, you know, an ecosystem provider for the enterprise customer, for the SME, for the, you know, tech company, so that they can interact with their customer. This is, you know, what I am dreaming about. So that's nothing else. And yeah, it's the, you know, the impact that we provide to the community here, because without us, you know, it could be hard, because they may use, you know, the international gateway, something like that. So they don't have local support and local touch for their business. So yeah, so that's you know, want to be in the next 3 to 5 years, that, you know, we will be the main ecosystem driving this, you know, mobile communication in Cambodia.
Okay, and over the next few years or so, will you be looking to bring on board outside investors and like trying to scale the business further? Are you at this point at a point of profitability, or you've broken even, that you don't require like future fundraising?
Even though we are now profitable, sustainable, but we're still, you know, limited with the resource that we have, and we cannot move fast. I will not rule it out, you know, for the fund or investment from the outside investor. I am open, but, you know, sometimes it's very difficult as well, because, you know, one thing is not easy, but sometimes, you know, some investor, they, you know, think like, you know, short-term return of investment. But for us, we are thinking about long-term. So we are actually looking for long-term investor rather than short-term investor, because over a short period of time, I have to be honest that we cannot, you know, give the return back of investment in a short period of time. But for a longer period of time, I think we can, and probably we can give, you know, back at a very high rate based on my forecast and project.
And with that, it's really exciting to think about. In terms of anytime you want to raise capital, you want to make sure that you do have a long-term partner and someone that's going to be there for the full journey. So in the case that you will be raising capital in the future, yeah, it'll be really interesting to learn more about that. As we transition to the last part of our podcast, it would be great to start to ask a couple of interpersonal questions, just to get to know you a little bit more and kind of figure out some of the ways that you navigate a life on a personal level. The first of that being is, you know, being a founder, being a leader, what are some of the ways that you are able to stay grounded among, you know, all the hectic craziness that probably goes on in your work life on a day-to-day basis?
I would say I probably didn't get your question properly, Dom.
Okay, I'll ask that again. What are some of the ways that you... okay, I'll just re-ask that. Moving on to the last section of our podcast, would be great to ask you a couple of interpersonal questions. The first one to start with would be, what are some of the habits that you follow to stay present or stay focused in your life, whether that's personal or work?
For that one, I would say usually there are a lot of distraction. So as I said, you know, if you want to do your project, you have to keep believe in your project so that you can stay focused. And if you don't believe in your project, then, you know, you may get distraction easily and you may lose focus easily. And I think, you know, focus, hard work and dedication are very important for the startup owner to succeed. Maybe sometimes it takes longer time. That's why, you know, as a startup owner, you have to be patient. If you lose your patience, you lose everything. You lose your focus. You lose, you know, your dedication. You lose your hard work. So you have to be patient and you have to work hard. And I always learn around, you know, from the people and take the best idea from the people. You know, what can we do? What can be done? What we gonna do in the future? You know, like one of the, you know, a few words that I learned from like Elon Musk, you know, like he said to me, he said to the people, you know, anyone can follow you, no matter how good you are. But the thing is the pace of innovation. This word remind me all the time, pace of innovation. It's very important that, you know, you have to innovate yourself. You have to be ahead of your competitors. That's the most important. And I actually apply, you know, this approach, you know, with PlusGate. We want to be ahead of our competitor. We want to be ahead of the game. We want to move fast so that our competitor cannot, you know, catch us easily. If we are slow, then, you know, they can copy you. They can catch you easily. Then they can outpace you anytime.
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned Elon Musk, because both Max and I have read his recent biography that's come out. And one of the takeaways that we often find ourselves going back to is this maniacal sense of urgency. And it's an interesting concept, because when you say it, it feels like kind of crazy. But at the same time, you realize that if you really want to be successful, or if you want to make sure you're getting ahead of any problems that will just kind of like drag along and ultimately bring down the business in the long term, you have to be that person that has that, because otherwise no one else will. And most people don't have that. So that's a good takeaway that we always go back to and discuss whenever Elon comes up.
Yes. I agree. And cost is also one of the most important factor in running business, you know, especially startup, because you cannot just spend money, you know, around like, you know, some big company. You have to make it right. And I see, you know, sometimes even myself, you know, spend money, you know, not in the right direction, you know. That's why controlling your costs and spend your money, you know, in correct way would help, you know, to maximize your margin and your profit too. And some startup, you know, they just spend money, but sometimes they spend money not in the right way. So you have to think carefully. And some startup, they don't care about saving costs. You know, when you have good product, when you have good service. But if you cannot save cost, you cannot compete with your competitor because your cost is high. So you have to be efficient and you have to be fast at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like an early stage startup, you have to be scrappy and you have to try to figure out solutions with half the cost. But there are times where you could get sucked into the shiny object syndrome, where a certain tool or like a certain solution that looks good, that might cost a lot, is the right decision. But, you know, maybe that could lead to potential acceleration of cash burn for the business that you didn't anticipate before. And so that, funny enough, that's another takeaway from the book, is that you can always probably find a solution for a lot cheaper. You just have to really have some creative people that are smart around you, hiring the right team. So, yeah. Are there any, other than Elon from the sound of it, but are there any other advisors or mentors that you look up to, whether it's those that are around you in Cambodia or other maybe public figures around the world that you like to speak with, get advice, get feedback, or just learn from?
So far, I didn't really, you know, have like mentors and like that. But I have, you know, shareholders and I have team. So I simply, you know, keep, you know, listening to them and discuss with them, especially the customer. Of course, you know, I'm in the business community, so I always keep watching and learning from people around. I have a lot of, you know, friends in startup, in or doing other things, and also, you know, keep watching all the business people around the world. So keep, you know, takes, you know, what are the good thing, and for me, and like, you know, as I said, not just Elon Musk, but some of his advice, these are good that, you know, you can take and consider. And I learned a few things from him, you know. So it's very beneficial that, you know, you can apply into your work, into your business, because it would benefit you a lot. Like, you know, the pace of innovation, you know, it pushed me, it motivated me a lot. Also, cost saving. One of the experience that I learned at my previous company, you know, helps me. It reminds me all the time that, you know, I have to be very efficient in doing things. Otherwise, you know, it would be difficult to compete. When you have higher costs, it's impossible for you to compete, especially in you know, in this nowadays, you know, business. It's very competitive. It's very challenging.
Yeah, fully agree. Is there an item or application that you use every day that you could not live without?
I think calendar. It's very important for me because I rely on phone and calendar. So tasks and like that, I always put it on my calendar so that, you know, it reminds me. I can see it every day. And I can mark it, which one I have done, which one still pending. So I think calendar and tasks are very important for me.
That's an underrated answer. I feel like the calendar application that.
phones, calendar notes and like that, tasks are very important for me because I just know in there and I know what to do. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can use notebooks and other things, but I think I'm quite convenient with the calendar's tasks, with the phone. So it's easy for me. But I still have my notebook, you know, to write something down. But for important things, I always have it on my calendars to do it.
Max has this pen from the 1960s or 1970s. I'm wanting to try to write a couple notes with at some point. So. So looking forward to that in the near future.
Sometimes, you know, I sometimes don't like, you know, complicated things or complicated technology too. I try to do something or try to use something that is simple, easy to use, something like that. And I like cleanliness. So I don't like, you know, complicated software and like that sometimes. Just need a simple application and things.
Yeah, that makes sense. And our traditional closing question that we like to ask each of our guests is, what's the most important piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Okay, that's a very good question. For me, you know, as I said, you know, to start a startup, to think about it, it's easy. But I would encourage the startup owner to think twice, not in a negative way, in a positive way. I still encourage, you know, people to do startup because that would help the economy, would provide, you know, impacts to the community and the country. But you have to be very passionate with your dream, with your work, with your job. You cannot just start a startup, you know, with just, you know, like you got pressure from the work that you are doing, or maybe you want to compete with other people for when you see them, you know, they are succeeding and you want to compete with them like that. But you have to have your own dream and you have to have your own passion. You have to like what you are doing. If you don't like what you are doing, you know, you may not succeed because you may be get tired. You may lose your patience. You may lose your focus and you may give up. So you have to fight and face with it. So that's what I you know, advise to the startup owner. But also at the same time, you have to be, you know, cost efficient. As I said, you know, cost is one of the most important thing in the company. When you be able to control your cost, then you can build your services and products with a better price. So you can compete in this case. But of course, your services and products have to be, you know, attractive to the customer at the same time. And your dream your dream has to be, you know, I mean, big. But sometimes not every dream is big, but, you know, you have to believe that it's a big dream for you.
Yeah, it's true. It's, you know, if you have a vision of the life that you want to live or the product that you want to build or company that you want to build, you know, it takes a lot of commitment. And that's something Max and I always go back to as well. It's like something such as a podcast, really a big part of it is being consistent, you know, being proactive and wanting to meet with more and more people, learn more, kind of have that hunger. And yeah, it's a great takeaway to finish the episode off with. So Sotha, thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure to speak with you today, to learn about PlausGate. We're really excited to see the future of the company as well as yourself. And yeah, look forward to catching up soon.
Yes. Thank you for your time and the opportunity for giving me to the podcast. And I really appreciate it. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good day.